Welcome back, everyone, to another special edition of the Between the Tackles podcast. Burge here again. Joe couldn't make it today, prior commitment, but I'm here with my buddy Manish. We got a real special episode today. You want to tell us about it, Manish?
Yeah, we're happy to welcome four-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, and one of the 52 nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. One of the best fullbacks in NFL history, certainly the best in my lifetime. Blocked for a 1,000-yard rusher, 11 consecutive seasons, and probably the Cal Ripken of the NFL. Iron Man, 221 consecutive games for, I believe, 13 or 14 consecutive seasons, which is remarkable to think of. And it's Lorenzo Neal. Lorenzo was also the co-host of the Believe in Chargers podcast with Matt Money Smith. And we're here to preview not only the Chargers-Patriots Super Wild Card weekend game, but the rest of the AFC playoff picture as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lorenzo, how are you? How are you, man?
You know what? I'm great, guys. Excited, man. It's playoff week. I'm sorry I got you guys got me driving, so I'm going to be looking crazy, and I got the eyes on the road, so if you guys hear a big thud, you know it's your fault. You guys took me out. Played for 17 years, you know, 16 years in the league, and you know what? Didn't get taken out, but you guys might get me taken out. But I'm excited, man. It's the playoffs. I mean, it's win or go home. And I love the show, you know, in between the trenches, in between those tackles and guards and centers. I'll tell you right now, that's what this playoff's about. It's about who's going to win in the trenches. Quarterbacks, I know offense entertains, but defense wins championships. And when you're thinking about these playoffs, yeah, there's some high-power offense. But if you don't have defense and if you don't have tackles and guys in the trenches that can protect these quarterbacks, I'm telling you, you're going to see a lot of upsets, and that's where a lot of these games are going to be won and lost in the trenches.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, go ahead, buddy.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Lorenzo, because I want to ask you first, you know, it's kind of like some of these matchups are strength for strength, or when I look at this matchup, it's almost kind of like the weakness versus the weakness, because the Chargers obviously have had some issues with injuries along their offensive line this season, but I'm not sure that the Patriots can take advantage of that, because their defensive front isn't the strength of their team at all. They don't really get consistent pressure. If you look at individually, Chaisson is their leading pressure rate guy, and there's three guys, I believe, on the Chargers who have a higher pressure rate. So when you look at the state of the Chargers' offensive line, how do you view that offensive line as currently constituted against what they're going to face with the Patriots front?
Yeah, well, you know, losing Joe Alton, you know, and two Pro Bowl tackles, probably two premier tackles. The Chargers, they didn't lose one, but they lost both their tackles, and both these tackles were Pro Bowl, maybe even All-Pro type of tackles. It's hard to replace that, and you haven't replaced it. You see the Chargers this year, it's been a make-take offensive line. Herbert's been sacked, what, 54 times this year. I know Drake May's been sacked 45 times, so like 10, you know, 7 or 8 times less. So both these quarterbacks have taken their shots and have taken a lot of sacks because guys up front just can't hold up. But you know Herbert, he's going to try to create some opportunities. Both these quarterbacks can do things. They're similar. They can do a lot with their legs. They can extend plays. So this is going to be a game that what offensive line is going to, dominate, or which offensive line is going to give their quarterback enough time to do damage, because both these two guys are prolific passers. You know, you look at the Chargers offensive line, they're going to go a lot of 12 personnel. They even got six, sometimes they bring 6 and 7 offensive line and go jumble. They're bringing in offensive tackles to play the tight end position because they want to go big, because they know their guys can't hold up. This game is going to be critical. How is the Chargers going to be able to hold up and be able to run the ball to stay ahead of the sticks? That's what this is about for the Chargers. It's like, okay, if we go big, we can't get Herbert in 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 12, 3rd and 8, because the line just can't hold up. They have to win and stay ahead of the sticks, and they got to play complementary football, because if you know, if the Chargers are in 3rd and 12 or 3rd and long, it's just Herbert will not have the time. And that's what New England is going to have to, you know, put their hat, rest their hat on, is saying we got to find a way to create some pressure. I know they don't have a great defensive front, but you know the guy, forgets his name, that just left, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, has been injured half the year, but he's going to be back, and he is a boy dog. in between the tackles. He'll hit you. He's big. He can take on double teams, and he can put some pressure right in the middle. And that's what a lot of quarterbacks, they don't like. They like to climb up in the pocket. And you get a guy that's going to change the logic, and now the quarterbacks can't step up in the pocket. That's a problem. So I think New England is going to present a problem for the Chargers. Chargers got to find a way to figure it out by running the ball and staying ahead of the sticks.
It's interesting you bring up running the ball, because the Patriots' run defense, while it started out this season, they were, I think, in the first seven or eight games this year, they didn't allow a 50-yard rusher. And then of late, given the injuries that they suffered with Kyrus Tonga, Milton Williams obviously was out for a period of time, their run defense hasn't been nearly as solid, and teams have kind of been able to kind of run at will. So I think it's interesting that you bring that up about the Chargers needing to really establish that run early to kind of back off the Patriots' pass rush to help that offensive line of the Chargers. How do you think Justin Herbert's hand is going to be doing in this one? Is he going to feel anything? Obviously, he didn't play last week against the Broncos. Do we think that that's going to kind of set him back in any way with this matchup against the Patriots?
Well, you know, undoubtedly the Patriots, they're going to come after him. You want to hit him. You want to throw him on the ground. You want to hit that hand. You want to test it out. You want him thinking about that hand. Absolutely. It's grabbing the ball. It's grabbing at the ball. It's grabbing his hand. It's pulling his hand. This is football. You can't say, okay, he's got a bad hand, I don't want to go after it. The Patriots are going to target that hand. When you tackle him, you want to fall on that hand. When you come in with your helmet, you want to hit him on the hands. This is what the Patriots have to do. That should be in their game plan. But I think Justin Herbert, we know the kind of quarterback he is, the way that he can scramble, the way that he can run the ball, the way that he can move the sticks. He is still a handful. Even though he gets sacked, the guy has made some incredible plays. But at times, he tries to do too much, and he throws the ball away. And that's what this game's going to be about. The team that makes the least amount of mistakes, and that's what the Patriots want to do. They want to steal a couple possessions by putting Chargers in third and long and saying, okay, if we do that and steal a couple possessions, we will win this game. It is going to be a physical game, and like we talked about, I'm going to continue to say it, it's going to be won and lost in the trenches.
Yeah, look, I appreciated what you said a moment ago about the run game, obviously taking pressure off of Herbert, you know, staying ahead of the sticks. Omarion Hampton's dealing with an ankle injury. I know he didn't practice on Wednesday. We'll see how the remainder of the week goes. But assuming that he is going to be available and playing, what kind of dimension does he bring? Because I know that Vidal played well for a brief stretch when Hampton was out, but having both of those guys in the backfield, just how important will that be, and how is he different than what Vidal brings to the table?
Yeah, Vidal is a guy who's hard to hit. He's compact. He runs low to the ground. Vidal has done a phenomenal job playing. It's a good two-headed monster. But when you think about what Omarion brings to the game, he's physical. And not just physical, but he's fast. If he's leaving, he's got breakaway speed. He runs hard to the outside. This is going to be a game of attrition. I know his ankle is hurting, but they do need Omarion Hampton to be okay, to be able to give 15 to 20 carries. And he has to be a bell cow in this game, because New England, on the other hand, they're going to have the same type of game plan. They know you guys got two backs, one power, one, you got Thunder and Lightning, you got one scat back, and you got another back that's, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 220, 230 pounds. So both of these two teams are going to try to establish the run game, and they're going to play for possession. This could come down to the team with the team that has the ball last may very well win this game. And guys, let's not forget about what's another part. I always tell people all the time, offense counts as a third, defense counts as a third, but special teams is going to be big. You think about the punt kick returner that you guys have, what he's been able to do, 17 yards, averaging 17 yards per return, punt return. That's field position. That's a big-time difference compared to the Chargers only averaging six. But the Chargers have Dicker the kicker. Yes, against Houston, he missed one field goal, one extra point. If he doesn't miss that, are we even having this conversation? They could very well have been the number one seed. So special teams is going to be big this game with the Patriots and the Chargers. I think special teams may determine the outcome of this game as well.
Absolutely. I definitely could see that. I mean, Marcus Jones has been a kind of a prolific returner this year. He's been awesome to watch as a fan of the team of the Patriots with his kickoff returns, long returns, touchdowns even. But I want to flip it to the Chargers defense. How do you see them attacking Drake May and neutralizing him, given how accurate of a passer he is, the efficiency that he's had this year, and not to mention his scrambling ability?
Yeah, I think Terrell and Khalil Mack, these guys, they have to make things happen. These guys got to crush that pocket and shrink that pocket and collapse it. You know, Khalil Mack, this guy's the ageless wonder. He's going to have, you know, they're going to put some pressure, and that's got to, that's why up front is going to be big for the Chargers. The Chargers, they play great defense. Roman, you know, I can't wait to see this matchup between Greg Roman, the defensive coordinator, what he brings to this, but Staley, what Greg Roman brings to the table, but also how is he going to be able to attack? Because you guys know, you know, when you think about your offensive coordinator, he's been around this league for a long time too. So these are two great, one great offensive-minded and one great defensive-minded coach. They are going to go at it. And so I think the Chargers, they got to shut down the run, and they have to see, you know, when you look at the Chargers secondary, and there's a guy that we know that's one of the best safeties in the league that the Chargers have. That's the X factor. You can play nickel because you can bring your safety down, and he's like a linebacker. He's Derwin James is built different. He's a different type of player. He's a game changer. So you can play nickel and have Derwin in the game and take out a linebacker, and he can come. He still can blitz. He can cover. He can run block. He can do so many different things. So I think Derwin James also is a guy that the Patriots are going to have to account for because he can be so disruptive on defense. But the Chargers are going to have to play great defense. They can't come out and spot New England Patriots 14 points and think that they're going to come back from behind. They just don't have that in their repertoire. It's got to be a Chargers team. The defense, we know their defense is in the top 10 in everything, and so is New England Patriots, top 10 type of defense. But Chargers have a huge advantage when it comes down to the red zone. The Chargers' red zone defense is, I think, a lot better than the Patriots. So I think that's going to be a huge factor.
Yeah, along those lines, Lorenzo, you know, I've been so impressed by the job that Jesse Minter has done. You know, obviously there's discussions about whether this offseason will be his time to be a head coach. And he's been linked to the Ravens because of his time on the coaching staff there in the past. What has impressed you the most about his scheme? Because when I look at the Chargers, and I don't pretend to watch every Chargers game, but you know, I remember earlier this season when they really gave Jalen Hurts and the Eagles fits. It seems to me that, you know, they like to rush with four guys. It's not overly complex. They just have guys that are smart enough to be in the right position. So, I mean, what does Minter bring to the table? And what do you like about what he has kind of implemented on that defense?
Yeah, I think Jesse Minter does a great job. I was talking about Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator. You know, he wants to pound the ball and run the ball, but I meant to say Jesse Minter. Minter is a phenomenal defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator. You know, he's been around for years with the Patriots. You know, he had a stint with the Raiders. He's been a head coach, and now he's back being an offensive coordinator. So those two, I can't wait to see these two go at it and which one is going to blink first. I think Minter's done a great job of disguising things. They like to sit back and play two safety high, and you don't know if they're playing cover one, cover two. They move around. They disguise a lot of things. They rock and roll corners. They flop. They do a lot of different things, this defense, but they try to make everything look the same, and they can confuse you. Look for them to try to confuse the young quarterback to see him throwing to a space, and all of a sudden the Charger appear. They do a great job of disguising their coverage. They like to stay with two safeties deep. They like to come and rock and roll the safeties. They play it. They disguise it. You don't know if it's two. You don't know if it's one. You don't know if they're playing man coverage. So that's what Jesse Minter has done a great job doing is saying, okay, I'm going to disguise this coverage. We're going to play in two, cover two, but we're going to make sure that we have all of our run fits, and we got to make sure we have our run fits, because if you don't, if your back is one of the running back, if he's even, he's leaving. So you got two running backs that have had long runs over 50 yards plus. So Minter has his hands full this week saying, okay, we're going to stay with two safety high, two safeties. You have to be able to run the ball. And I'm telling you, to try to get the Chargers to come out of that two shell and try to get them to play 8-9 guys in the box and then take their shots down the field for them. So cat and mouse game Jesse Minter and seeing what he's going to have up his sleeve, because he gets that defense and they can hum.
Is there a quarterback, Lorenzo, that may remind you of that the Chargers have faced this year, and just in terms of play style?
You know what? They want to. I think they want to be like the Houston Texans, but the Texans just have those guys on the ends are just a little bit better to me. They're a little bit stronger, but they want to play like a lot like you watch them play. They're aggressive. You watch the Texans. They're aggressive. And another defense is Denver. Denver's defense is great too. So I look at the Chargers' defense. They're going to have their hands full because Drake May, in the way that he's throwing the ball, and the way that they're able to run the ball, and how physical they are. They just play smart football. And that's what Rabel's done a great job of saying, guys, just do your job. Stay in your lanes. Think about what this team has done. The last 2 years, what, won 4 games? And all of a sudden, you got one of the best records in football. This team, though, is in uncharted territory. A lot of these guys haven't seen playoffs. A lot of these guys don't know what it's like. So it's going to be interesting for these guys to play, you know, in the playoffs, big atmosphere. But they're playing at home. But I think he's going to have these guys ready, and I don't think the stage is going to be too big for him.
So, real quick, I want to get your thoughts on the schedule that the Patriots have played. You hear a lot of chatter around the fans and everything about, oh, the Patriots haven't played anybody. You know, they have the weakest strength of schedule over the last 25 or 30 years. I think it might even be longer. Do you put any stock into that when you're evaluating a team like the Patriots? Do you think that they have arrived this season?
Well, when you look at they played with 2 playoff teams and they lost. You lost to the Steelers. Steelers were able to win. So you played some couple playoff teams and it hasn't fared well. But you got to throw all that out the window. This is the playoffs. Hell, you guys remember I was on the Charger team. We go 14-2. Tommy and the Patriots come in and beat us because they were used to those moments. So I can't stand the Patriots. They find a way to win. It's the Patriot way. And Vrabel's bringing that same type of mentality to these guys. So, yes, they had a weaker schedule. Yes, the schedule weak. But you know what? But they showed that they could handle it, and they beat who was in front of them. So I think when the playoffs happen, guys, you got to throw that out the window. But, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, there will be some upsets. This is the NFL. Upsets are going to happen. You think about who's playing this week. You can see all 3 of the favorite dogs went winning. And you can see, even though Chargers are 7, you can, if they won, it wouldn't be a surprise. The Patriots wins, it's not a surprise. You think about the way these teams look at the Steelers and the Texans. If the Texans win that game, it wouldn't surprise us. If the Steelers win that game, I don't think it would surprise you either. So I think there's just so much parity, especially in the AFC.
Yeah, I was gonna say, real quick. Can you remember a time where the conference seemed like it was this wide open?
I honestly can't. I don't remember when you just seen a team that anyone can win because you've seen Denver right now, the hottest team maybe in the AFC. No one's talking about them. Could be possibly the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. Look how hot they got and look at the way they're playing. You know, so Jacksonville can score. Their defense can get after you. They can run the ball. You saw the Chargers play against the Patriots. Patriots played everybody because they wanted the number one seed. That was only a 1-score, 2-score game. The Chargers was in that game with all backups. So Denver Broncos they don't scare you. The Patriots can't be scared of them. So when you look at the parity and you're talking about for this year, especially in the AFC, it would not surprise anyone. There's not a dominant team. When you talk about the NFC really quick, there's 2 teams. 2 teams that I think has got a chance to win it, and that's the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams. When you see Seattle and the Rams, to me, they're head and shoulders above the rest. Philadelphia doesn't scare you. You look at Philadelphia, you look at you think about what, you know, Carolina, they're not afraid of those guys either. So I think the NFC, their 2 best teams are a lot more, you know, it's a lot more separation in the NFC than the AFC.
I want to get your thoughts on some of these other games, Lorenzo, but just to circle back to the Chargers for a moment, two questions. One, you know, Jim Harbaugh is like a force of nature. You know, when you look at him from afar, he's quirky, and, you know, I talked to him in the past, and he's just got a pretty unique presence about him. How is he kind of flip the culture of the organization, you know, is really molded around his mindset. And it really didn't take that long. You know, he flipped it around last year to get them to the playoffs. And I'm curious, you know, being someone who's close to the organization and revered, you know, by everybody in the organization, just what your impressions of Harbaugh are, you know, seeing him up close.
I think Harbaugh does a great job of empowering men. I think he's just, when you look at Vrabel, look at a guy, they intercept the ball. He's pointing, telling all the rest of the guys to walk to the sideline and say, no, go run down there, celebrate. When you got, like, look at Harbaugh. Harbaugh's never going to sell out his guys publicly. He's going to talk about, hey, we're tough. We're built for this. That's why they arrested these guys. They believe they can go into Foxborough and win that game. Harbaugh's got these guys believing. They want, you don't think Justin Herbert, everyone's been talking about how great of a quarterback, but he's never won a playoff game. So Harbaugh's done a great job of getting his teams ready to play in spite of, yes, the Commanders, they didn't look good. You know, against Indianapolis, they didn't look good. But if you think about this Charger team, they've been in a lot of games. They played some good football, and Harbaugh has been the main thing that makes his guys believe that they can beat anyone, they can take on anyone, and they play together. He has those guys believing in one another.
Yeah, you know, it's a perfect segue because you had just touched on it a moment ago. I'm a huge believer in Justin Herbert. I have been, frankly, from the moment that he started his first game, I guess on like a 10 minutes notice when Tyrod Taylor got hurt against the Chiefs, and you know, he played exceptionally well, even in that first game without a lot of preparation. But is there pressure on Justin Herbert in this game? Because for all of the good things he has done in the regular season, you know, a critic would point to last season. He threw more interceptions in a playoff loss to the Texans than he had all season, you know, throughout 17 games. So, you know, do you think he needs to win this game?
I think it'd be great for Herbert's psyche. Does he need to win this game? Is it, that means if he doesn't win, is he going to go into a shell and not play well again and his career's over? Hell no. But does he need to win this game? Is he thinking about it? Does he have pressure? Yes. Herbert believes that he's an elite quarterback. Harbaugh believes he's one of the best quarterbacks in this league. He needs this ghost off last year, like you said, one and done, four interceptions. That's a horrible feeling. You are the leader of this team. You have to play. Herbert has to play well for this team to win. He cannot throw three, four interceptions. They're losing this game. And Herbert will take chances. I think that when you have a defense as good as the Chargers have been playing, you play field position. You live to fight on another day. Herbert can't be so aggressive that he turns the ball over, and he is going to be feeling that pressure. He wants to win this game. He wants to show people that, hey, that I belong in the same conversation as Josh Allen, as Patty Mahomes, as Joe Burrow. And I think that you're going to see a Herbert come out motivated, and I think he's going to see this guy play within himself. If he plays within himself, that's all it needs to do. Take the sack. Don't turn the ball over. You know, throw the ball away. Don't try to do too much. And I think both these quarterbacks have that tendency at times. Drake, you saw May at times, you know, take sacks or do something, trying to create and, you know, throw a couple interceptions. So I think that the pressure is going to always come down to the quarterback, even though you take it to 10 other guys on the field. When it's all said and done, this is a quarterback-driven league. So, yes, the quarterbacks are going to have a lot of pressure on him. And Justin really is, because he's playing against a quarterback that's only in his second year. This is a game that Herbert needs to rise up and say that, hey, look, I took out this second-year quarterback. So, yes, I do believe that Herbert has more pressure on him than the quarterback there.
Absolutely. And, you know, given the year that, like we just talked about, that the conference is completely wide open and this is a chance for these other guys to kind of take that next step. Who else in the conference? I mean, we got a few other games this weekend. Which of the other AFC games for you are the most intriguing, maybe have the most intriguing storyline associated with it?
I want to see what everyone's talking about Houston. I don't think people put enough stock in Aaron Rodgers. You watch what he did the other night against Baltimore and just having that being down and coming back, going back and forth, trading blows, and just having watch him call plays, getting receivers. He's got some smart receivers. Aaron Rodgers pushes those guys. He demands excellence. And I know you look at Houston. Houston can get after you. I just think that that's an intriguing game. I really believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers, I know a lot of people think that Houston's a hot team and they should win that game. I just think that Aaron Rodgers and the way that the Steelers are playing, I think that's going to be a game that people are going to be surprised. I'm going to take the Steelers.
Yeah, look, I asked you about if there's pressure on Justin Herbert. Let's ratchet it up a couple levels. Is there pressure on Josh Allen? There is no Lamar Jackson. no Patrick Mahomes, no Joe Burrow in the AFC playoffs this year. It seems from just from a quarterback perspective that this is tailor made for him, but I don't know if they've got the horses to beat Jacksonville. Where do you think the Bills are, and how pivotal is this game, not only for the Bills franchise, but for Josh Allen's legacy as well?
Oh, without a doubt, Josh Allen, at the whole AFC, he has the most pressure because he's one of the chosen ones. He's one of the quarterbacks that everyone's talking about. Lamar Jackson, of course, you know, the great Kansas City quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. But right now, if you look at Josh Allen and you think that all the people that's not there, that's usually there, that's been his nemesis, it, you know, and still, if you think about it, this should be his year. And, you know, you don't have, you know, you look at Cincinnati, you look at Joe Burrow, he's not, he's home watching. Josh Allen is the best quarterback left in this, in the AFC. I like you, though. I just don't think he has the team that he had last year, the year before. I don't believe that he has the same team. Defensively, no. Offensively, they're running the ball. James Cook's running the ball well. But I just don't think he has enough either. Like you just said, I think that you see Josh Allen trying to do too much. He tries to take over because of the fact he knows they got to score a lot. But I don't believe that they have the horses. But, yes, the most pressure, without a doubt, in the playoffs, and especially in the AFC, hands down, it's Josh Allen.
Flip it to the NFC. You know, another team with a young quarterback, a new head coach this year, it kind of came out of nowhere. At least definitely surprised me in the NFC North. That's the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson really found their stride this year, winning that division. For me in the NFC, that's the most intriguing matchup, taking on their division rival for the third time in the last 6 weeks in the Green Bay Packers. What are your thoughts on Caleb Johnson and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson there in Chicago? How do you think they're going to fare this year?
I really believe Ben Johnson, you know, Shanahan should be in the conversation. Of course, Jacksonville should be in the conversation, but I think Ben Johnson is coach of the year. When you think about, and of course, no disrespect, because I think Vrabel's done a great job, phenomenal job. But when you look at Caleb, everyone thought that could have been a bad pick. People were talking about, hey, this guy is done. He might have been a bust. And look what Ben Johnson comes to Chicago, gets this young man to start playing within himself. He's scrambling, throwing the ball better than he's ever thrown the ball. He's understanding defenses. He's reading defenses. He's not taking crazy sacks. He's throwing the ball away. I think Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, they have shocked the world. They have shocked the NFL. Chicago Bears came from nowhere, and now they are a threat. And it's going to be a hell of a game. You know, Green Bay's lost a lot of their weapons, but I'm telling you, if Jacobs is running hard, that should be a good game.
Exit right, 2 exit 1C. Yeah,
Lorenzo, you had mentioned off the top that you don't think that the Eagles scare anybody. And frankly, I agree with you. It's interesting, you know, reigning Super Bowl champions, pretty much everybody is back. They changed offensive coordinators who's with Kevin Petullo, who's been under fire. I want to get your unbiased assessment on the Eagles offense. You know, the defense with Vic Fangio has been terrific, but how do you analyze Philadelphia's offense, and then more specifically, where do you rank Jalen Hurts among the hierarchy of quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know, Jalen Hurts, he's a game manager. He's not a game changer. Jalen Hurts, he can run. He can do a lot of great things. I think the receiver number 11, I think that he's a man child. They're going to do, you just got to double him and try to take him away. But the biggest thing, I think, what makes Jalen Hurts go is Saquon Barkley. Saquon has not ran. The offensive line has been beat up. They have not done what they need to do. When Saquon is rolling, Jalen Hurts, he had an MVP type of year. But when Saquon's running, he is a great quarterback. When Saquon is not running well and he has to take over, Jalen Hurts just doesn't seem to be able to get it done.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I know it's a minority opinion, but I couldn't have said that better. George, you got something?
Yeah. Just one final thought. Obviously, you've played in the playoffs in the NFL multiple times. I wanted to get kind of like your take or your background on, obviously, the regular season is the regular season. The playoffs are the playoffs. How are the environments different from the player perspective? inside the locker room, what changes from regular season to playoffs? I just want to get like a little bit of an inside info on to what goes on with those situations.
A lot more crisp. The injuries that you have, the little tightness goes away. You're eating differently. You understand what's at stake. It's win or go home. You're taking home, you're watching extra film, you're doing the extra, you're bringing home your laptop, you're looking at plays, you're watching tendencies, you're watching guys' footwork, you're watching what they do. The playoffs, it's different. It's a different speed. Even the speed of the game in the playoffs compared to the regular season is a difference. I think that's the biggest difference, man. It's just the attitude, the physicality of the playoffs. Guys are a lot more sharp. They're a lot more crisp. Teams don't quit. They fight to the end. It's just a different. It's not, okay, we got next week. We're going to call off the dogs. No, it's like, no, we're going to find a way to scratch, crawl, get back in. And that's the biggest difference. There's no quitting teams in the playoffs.
Lorenzo. I mean, I'll just say that's what makes it, as a fan, it's what makes playoff football by far the best postseason product of any of the professional sports, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Lorenzo, a couple quick things before you let you go. One, I wanted to get your MVP pick. And along those lines, it's rare these days that a running back wins MVP. You were actually the fullback for LaDainian Tomlinson when he won the MVP. But it's few and far between now. It's typically a quarterback award. I ask you this because Christian McCaffrey had 1,000 yards rushing and receiving this year, but he's not really being discussed in the MVP conversation. It comes down, at least, you know, from a public sentiment, to Drake May or Matthew Stafford. So where do you fall on why running backs seem to have taken a back seat to quarterback in the MVP award, and who do you think will win this year? Who would you vote for?
Yeah, I thought that Stafford had it wrapped up, but that bad game that he had against Atlanta in a couple bad games, I think, you know, people talking about Dre, you know, May, that, you know, the strength of schedule, I think he's going to win it. I think that Myles Garrett should be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. People won't do him because Cleveland is so bad, but what he did, 23 sacks, come on, guys. He should be in this conversation. Christian McCaffrey, the 40% of the 49ers offense, that's huge. So I do believe that running backs should be in the conversation, but it's the league. The league just pups the quarterbacks. That's what they do. It's all about the quarterback. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, and it's going to always be that way because quarterbacks are the face of the team and the face of the NFL.
Couldn't agree with you more.
All right, we're putting you on the hot seat here. Before the playoffs begin, who's your Super Bowl pick, and who's ultimately going to be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy?
Yeah, you know what? The AFC, guys, I don't know. I think it's either – I think it's – believe it or not, I think it's New England or it's the Chargers. I really believe the AFC, it's New England or the Chargers. I look at Denver. They're so inconsistent on offense. I know the quarterback. Everyone talks about him. I don't – I'm not in love. I don't think Denver's the team. I don't think the Houston Texans is either. So it's got – to me, it's the Chargers or Denver in that one. And then if you're talking about in the NFC – I just think that it's hard to get past Seattle, and it's going to be hard to get past the Rams. So with those two teams, for me, are the front runners. But if you made me make a pick, I'm going to say the Rams, and I'm going to take maybe New England.
Wow. You're not going with the homer pick? I figured Chargers and Rams.
You know what? I love my what my dream pick would be. It's the 49ers and the Chargers. That's what I want, and that's what my dream. But realistically, if the Chargers had their two tackles, guys, I think they run away with the AFC. I'm telling you, you lost two Pro Bowl tackles. So it's going to be hard for them to get in, but I still believe the way that the Patriots can run the ball, they got two good backs, above-average backs. You got a quarterback that shares the ball. You don't have one guy that they're targeting. It's hard to scheme for them. New England does a great job. They just don't target one or two receivers. They do a great job of moving the ball around. So I like them. And just with the Rams, Puka Nacua, you look at him. And, of course, Devontae Adams, you got two guys. You can't cover those two guys. It's impossible to cover. They can play. Seattle, just they don't have the quarterback. You know, he's just not that guy. They probably got the best defense in football. I think they're even better than Houston. I would say Seattle, but I just think that Stafford's just too much. It's too good, and they got too many other weapons.
Wow. Well, this is great, Lorenzo. We appreciate all the insight for the Chargers across the league. You can catch Lorenzo Neal on the Believe in Chargers podcast, co-hosted with Matt Money Smith. And I wholeheartedly believe that eventually you'll be able to catch Lorenzo Neal in Canton when he becomes a Hall of Famer, because he is, as I said before, one of the best fullbacks in NFL history, the best fullback that I have seen in my lifetime. And it was just a privilege to get your thoughts on the playoff picture entering Super Wild Card Weekend. Thank you very much.
No worries, guys. We'll do it again soon. Cheers, guys.
Bolt, right, absolutely. Bolt, take
bolt
care.
Bolt up, baby. Bolt up. Bolt up. Let's go, Chargers.